am so excited that you tuned in today to listen. I am your host, Marquetta Smith, the Executive Director of Safe Harbor International Ministries. Welcome to our show. You have tuned in to our show called Harboring Positivity, where we create an open conversation about all things pertaining to families and communities. We take on tough topics such as family and community issues. We take on relationship issues, abuse, parenting, teen issues, trauma, and so much more. And this leads me to our topic today. We're going to be talking about mission work. What is it and what it looks like? So our guest today is intern Brittany. She is originally from a small town in northern Indiana, but currently lives in Evansville, Indiana, where she's a senior at the University of Southern Indiana, majoring in public relations and advertising with a minor in marketing. She is also one of our favorite interns here at Safe Harbor International Ministries, where she's a part of our admin and social media team. She's also our social media team lead. She is our intern of the month for this month in April. So check her out on any of our social media posts, on any of our social media platforms at Safe Harbor IM. So again, welcome, Brittany. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me, Ms. Marquetta.
Thank you for being here. We're excited about this. I know this is a topic that I have been really wanting to dive into and bring to our listeners. So again, I just want to welcome you to the show. And I'm just so grateful that you've been a part of our team here at Safe Harbor as one of our interns. So I just want to thank you for that. And thank you for the work that you're doing for our teams and how you've been able to help us bring some pieces to our social media team, also to admin. So again, thank you. Okay, so let's jump into this exciting topic. Okay, so what is mission work, Brittany?
Mission work is usually where you send a group of people, can be different parts of the world or even in your local community, and it's usually providing a need or a lasting impact on wherever you go. This can be in projects or even sometimes sharing the gospel with people who don't know it or have never even heard God's word.
Wow, this is exciting. Wow, just sending a group of people to different parts of the world. But we're going to jump into some other questions too that some people may ask when they talk about mission work. So let's talk about missionary. What is a missionary? If you can sum it up and let our listeners know what is a missionary, because there's so many definitions out there. So many people have so many ideas about what a missionary is and what they're supposed to do. So kind of break this down for us today, Brittany.
There are missionaries who take it on as a career. They either live where they're doing their work and have a lasting impact on that community. They'll usually provide housing or just really set themselves in that community, and that's where they'll end up staying. There's also missionaries who will jump around country to country, even spend a year in one country and come back to the States, or go to some pretty dangerous places where they're out there persecuting Christians and doing some really scary work that is so needed. But then there's also non-religious missions, which some people might be interested in, where you do more need-based and work and you'll install water systems or build housing. But more typically what we're going to be talking for today especially will be the religious missionary and them going to those places and sharing the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus and just how that can change a community and what those communities look like that are not in the States.
Wow, this is exciting. Oh my goodness. So you definitely helped me understand that missionary work is not always Christian based. It can be non-Christian based, people going actually to different areas in the field of missionary work. So I want to thank you for helping me understand that. Okay, so Brittany, can I still go to missions without being a full-time missionary?
Absolutely. A lot of people, I think, they hear of all these missionaries who live where they are and just continue going. Like I mentioned in the last question, just place to place, but there's still such a need for people who we'll go for a week or we'll go for a couple months, and there's tons of organizations or even your local church might schedule one every year that you can go on. So there are tons and tons of opportunities.
Okay, to get started, what would you tell people where to go if they want to get started, if they're interested in doing any type of mission work? Where would they go? Because you have some people that are not connected to a church, but they want to do missionary work. Some people are connected to a church and their church is not doing any mission work at this time, or they never really considered that. They're doing other things in the community. So where would people go to get started?
So, like you said, the best place to get started is going to be your local church where you have those connections, and they will more than likely do all those harder behind the scenes parts for you, like scheduling the flight, picking where to go, picking where to stay. And so that's going to be your easiest place to get started is within your church. But of course, if you want to go by yourself or your church is just not offering that, there are outside organizations. I know some of them that I even looked at was Send Internationals and Adventures in Missions. They're just outside groups. You can sign up and you can select an age range too, even that you can go with. So if you're 16, 15 years old, you can go with more 16, 17 year olds and not be sent with 20, 30, 40 year olds and really get an experience with your peers to do work like that as well. Or you can even reach out to a local nonprofit in your area and you don't have to go overseas. A lot of nonprofits too, even will be conducting work to do in your local community.
Okay, so you gave us two organizations outside of a local church, Send International, and it's SEND International, and then Adventures in Missions. So they can Google this and look this up to see if people want to sign up that way without going through their local church. So this is really good information because I didn't know that either. So thank you, Brittany, for sharing that. So let's jump into this next question here. Do you have to go to a different country to participate in missions work?
No. So this is actually a common misconception and one that I even had.
Okay.
A lot of churches, even my church back home, will plan trips to areas in the United States that will need a lot of disaster relief. So when there were a couple big hurricanes or the tornadoes down south, I said down south up in Indiana, we sent some teams and went and just helped with cleanup. They don't have to be overseas at all. It can be simply in the United States or even where you're working. A lot of people have that misconception too, was for me, I wanted to help people and I wanted to do mission work. Well, coming up in a job that I'll hopefully be doing, that will be my mission field. Like where I go every day, the people I work with, or even I don't have kids personally, but people who do, that can be their mission field is the parents that you have of children who are your friends or people you usually hang out with, that is your mission field. You do not have to go to Belize or go to Africa or even to a different state. It's where you're working and where you're living currently. There's so many people who still need to hear such the good word and good news.
Wow, okay, so this is good. You really debunked one of the I guess the myths that people had about do I have to leave my country to go into another country to do missions work? Because missions work can be done anywhere. And we have a lot of need here in the United States, as you guys already know, harboring positivity. We are located here in the United States, but our listeners are international as well. So I would love to go to other countries, but I would also love to stay here in the United States too and do some mission work. And you may have some other listeners that they're in other countries and they're not ready to travel to another country, but they can look around in their own country, in their own community to really become a part of some great missions work there. So I want to thank you, Brittany, for answering that question and really debunking that myth, because I tell you, I was thinking the same thing. So I want to thank you again for helping us understand this. Okay, so we're going to dive into talking about your personal experience, Brittany, with doing missionary work, what it felt like, how you got started, all of that. So I am so excited to really get to this meat of this topic here today. We're going to start off by asking you about your experience and how that looked. So, Brittany, explain where and how long you were doing missions work, how you got started with this.
Yeah, so my personal experience was I went to Belize about, goodness, I think it was 3 years ago now, and I was there for around 3 weeks. We stayed in a camp together. There was, I want to say, about 15 on my team that went, all various ages, some my age, some a little older. And our main ministry that we did there was for children. We did a lot of puppet shows, we organize bags to give to them with just some fun things in it that they might not have. They're like coloring books and just simple things like some bouncy balls and stuff for them to keep them involved in what we were doing. We also did a skit for the older adults and would do sermons for them when we were there. And then we also got the opportunity to bring basic hygiene products to women who had been rescued from sex trafficking.
Oh,
And I
wow.
think that was the biggest takeaway I had from that trip was these women were all in this one house, and this little girl was so excited that she had her own shampoo. And I'm like, wow, she's excited for her own shampoo, and here I go every day in the shower and have all of that right there, even two or three bottles, honestly. We also ended up shoveling dirt, and I didn't know we could have so much fun doing this. It was just a pile of dirt that needed moved at a church, and we were here and we were helped, but it was an absolute blast of a time. And then, of course, the time I got to spend with my team while I was there was just so rewarding as well, growing closer to other Christians and other people who had the same goal and same heart and same mindset as you was so sweet. And we got to share just a lot of good time, a lot of good word, a lot of just how God's been moving in their life, and so much wisdom from so many people who were there. And I can honestly say I have some amazing friendships now after that experience.
Wow, it sounded like you guys did a lot of different things, provided a lot of just basic things for them. You brought some things that they needed, but you also put on puppet shows and then all the way to shoveling some dirt. So this is exciting and letting people know exactly some of the things that you can possibly do if you sign up to do some missions work. So this is a question that I have for you, Brittany. What was the defining moment when you knew that you wanted to do missions work?
I can remember being probably in middle school, and I always wanted to go. My church was always going. The lady who was at that time discipling me was always going and talking about these great experiences. And I was like, Mom, I want to go so bad. But of course, she was like, No, like you're too young. I can't. Like, I just can't. You know, the mama bear in her, of course,
Yes,
which is
yes.
understandable. So I was like, Oh, I'll just never go. It's fine. Well, then my church ended up going to Belize when I was in college. That's how I ended up hearing about that trip. And my mom was like, Okay, I guess I can
I guess I
say
can let you
yes to
go.
this now.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was how I got started, and that was really through my church. And just I've always known I wanted to help people. Always have known I wanted to help people. So the desire came pretty young, and then I've finally been figuring it out as I've been going here recently.
Wow, this is something. You've always had that desire, and finally you were able to go when you were in college. So what were some concerns you had before you were going? I mean, I know that you were excited and you spent several years begging mama to go, and then when you finally got in college, you were able to actually fulfill this dream. But let's face it, I know you had some concerns. What were some concerns for you?
I have always loved to travel, so the going was never a big part. But man, bugs. I have
Bugs.
heard stories on stories of different countries and their bugs.
Okay, did you say
And
bugs?
yes.
I want to make sure and clarify. You said bugs. Wow. Okay, talk to us about these bugs. Now I'm
So,
getting nervous. I'm over here scratching.
oh no, nothing to be nervous about. They were
Okay.
not bad. I can reassure everyone they were not bad like I was thinking.
Okay.
But yeah, I do not do spiders. I don't do ants. I don't do any of it here. So that was just a concern for me because you're going to this location in a different country at that time. Like, man, I see the first spider that's the size of my hand. I'm out of here.
I'm running. Okay, so I have to confess something. Okay, so first of all, I want to do missions. It's a given. My friends, family members, they know Marquetta wants to do missions, and I am. But they also know that I freak out. And yes, I said it. I freak out when I see a bee coming my way, when I see a spider walking my way, anything that looks unusual. So I'm one of those. I will literally start running before it gets to me. So, what advice would you give someone who is afraid of bugs and afraid? And I love outside, I love outdoors, but the bugs, you can have that, you know? So what advice would you give someone? How would you help them get prepared mentally when they're getting ready to go and do some missions work, a place where they've never gone before and they have some of these fears, let's face it.
I also love the outdoors, but could do without the bugs. but yeah, just advice-wise, have somebody in your room who will be the designated bug killer.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
And believe it or not, coming back from this, I am now the designated bug killer in my house with my roommates.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
This is too funny. Oh, so you got some courage and you got some strength there. Okay, this is helping me. Okay, but I love the fact of having a plan to have a designated bug killer. Okay, I want to say this for those who love nature and love God's creatures. I love God's creatures, but I don't necessarily have to have someone to kill the bug. If someone can just shoo the bug away from me and make sure it doesn't come back, I think I can say that. So we don't advocate for smushing things just because, you know, we want to smush them, but we want to make sure we're safe. So I think we can have a designated person to kind of shoo those bugs away. I know I have a cousin, they don't like it when people kill the bugs. So what they do, they get a jar or whatever, and they just put them in a jar and then release them back outside. So if I can have a roommate that can do that, I think I'll be okay. All right. So what preparations, Brittany, did you go through before you went on the missions trip? What did you do? Were there any specific training? Because again, we're talking to our listeners about missions work, and we may have some interested listeners, you know, that they really want to do this. They probably want to hear about some preparation work, you know, some specific training. What do you have to do to get going in this?
From my experience specifically, we would meet monthly, and then leading up to it, it would get more frequent, of course, mm-hmm. but we would be sure everyone had their paperwork done, mm-hmm. everyone had money turned in, everyone had an idea of what their specific role they would be doing on the trip was. Like, we had a setup crew, we had a tear down crew, we had a person who was in charge of, you know, microphone equipment, the mm-hmm. puppet equipment, the bags that we're taking in, people who were packing our lunch that day. Like the body, we all had our specific roles to do and had our strengths play into that, and we all prepared and got to know each other more as a team while we had these meetings, and we'd practice our skit, we'd practice the puppet show, of course, but it was a lot of just being sure we were all prepared to know our jobs once we got there to make it run smoothly.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Did they go over any type of safety precautions before you guys took off into the missions field?
Yeah. So we had just some very open and real conversations about the environment we were going into. Mm-hmm. I know our team leaders on this trip had gone before, so they were able to provide us that hands-on experience of, this is what it looks like, this is what you'll run into, like, we are here to help and we are here to do this, but we need to keep you guys safe too. And so for our specific area, just talked about, don't drink the water, don't eat this that's fresh from here, because your bodies just aren't used to it. You're in a whole different environment. So definitely they went over some very specific to our area. So that'd be a great question for anyone who is going to ask before you go, that is specific to your area, because it's different depending on the location you go to.
And that is so important to know, specific to your area that you're actually going into, to ask about the safety concerns, and also to make sure that you get a packet you read over and that you are going over with the group that you're going with. This is so important. Safety is the top priority for mission teams. And I can definitely speak to that with some of the research that I've been doing. Now, this missions work is different from just traveling out of town or traveling into another country just for a vacation, because I did go to Belize on a vacation. I enjoyed myself, but you really didn't get a chance to get to know the locals and really get a feel for what was needed in that particular country. And of course, being a tourist, things look different versus going on missions work. And this is, again, for people who really have a heart to give back, really have a heart to help particular community out. And again, you know, we've been talking to Brittany, our intern here at Safe Harbor International Ministries, about this for those who are just tuning in. And she's given us some really good information, and it's really getting, you know, whetting my appetite more for wanting to go and do missions. Okay, so let's move further into What was the rewarding part of participating, Brittany, in missions work?
So the most rewarding part for me was definitely seeing the same God that I worship here in my tiny part of the world being the same God in a whole different part. Just him still working, him still moving, him still doing the same thing in all these people's lives that he's doing back at home. And I just remember worshiping one evening with this group of strangers, honestly, that we were there, and it was just so powerful. Like I remember you could just feel God's presence in that room, and that was
Wow.
so cool, so cool, because there was a slight language barrier at some points. For the most part, everyone spoke English, but there was, of course, a couple local languages, some Spanish, some Mayan, but for the most part, it was just everyone was here, everyone was worshiping, everyone was pouring their hearts out, and you could, oh, I get chills just talking about it.
I
like,
know, I'm getting chills, chills listening
wow.
to this, yes.
It was just a beautiful, beautiful time, and me realizing just, we really do serve this big, great God, and he is still moving and working, not only in my life, but
right.
across the country, like in a whole different place. And so that was just so cool to take away.
So you have a bigger appreciation for God when you went on this missions trip? Can we say that?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Wow. So how did going on this missions trip grow you closer to God? I heard you talk about in this last question that I asked about the rewarding part about participating in missions work, but how did you grow closer to God?
We were out there and you don't really have your cell phone except for when you get to Wi-Fi. So I just had it for pictures. You get to see this whole new culture, and they don't have half of what we have. Like, this one family had 4 or 5 kids and mom and dad all living in a home that was about the size of my bedroom now.
Wow.
And we'll come out of that. And it's like, these people have such a dependency on God. They have such a reliance on God. They have hardly any tangible physical things, in half, if not less than half, than what I do. But they're so happy. They're so joyous. They're so there. They're so excited to see you and talk with you and hear more about God. And in some ways, I think we're there to help them, but they helped us. Learning from them still even was a whole another experience in itself, because here we are trying to help you, and you guys are helping us realize the simplicity of God, the greatness of God, the total joy that you get from just him. It does not matter what you have at the end of the day. And as you know, we won't take those treasures with us. And that's what they lived on. That's what they relied on. So that was, again, really humbling and really, really, really cool to think.
That is so amazing that, you know, you're going on a missions trip trying to help. You're thinking you're going to help another country or another area, a location, but you get rewarded yourself by just seeing how they love God regardless of what they have. And you get to see the other side of a bigger God, if I can say that. Because a lot of times we get so, I'm going to be just honest and transparent. Sometimes we can get, I can get so comfortable in my little life and my little box and my little world here that I'm not thinking about all of what God is doing in these other places and other countries. So missions work really, it sounds like it expands your expectation of what God is doing. And it expands your vision of what he's doing. And you can see God working in these other places, even in some places where the needs are great. So I want to thank you for answering that question too. So let's jump into this next one. How did you adjust to life back in the States after coming back from your missions work? How was that? Because I can imagine, you know, you're over there for 3 weeks and then now you have to adjust coming back to life in the United States, or life in whatever particular country that person is returning home to. So talk to us about that.
I definitely didn't think at first when I went, I would struggle with this. Mm-hmm. But coming back, I just felt guilty at some points in time, especially looking back to when we went to that woman's home. And I just remembered this little girl so vividly, like, I get my own shampoo. Like I mentioned, I have this all in my bathroom. I have so much more in my bathroom.
Right.
And I almost had a sense of guilt. Of course, coming back, it just really strengthened relationship with God, because I have all these things, but I don't need them. But I have to depend on him to get back to trying to get back to that normalcy again.
Okay, so what is that one item you wish you would have brought with you when you look back at the missions trip, look back at how you prepare for everything? What is that one item?
So definitely a camera. That was not my phone, just so I didn't have to worry about my phone all the time and what it was doing. And then I'd check it and I'm like, wait, I don't have anything to check on here. But another thing that I am so thankful I brought was this lanyard that was big enough to hold my passport, some extra cash, and my phone. And then I was able to tuck that within my shirt. It was not visible to the public. That was one of those travel concerns they had warned us about, was not to carry like a purse or something visible that looked like, this is where my money is, everybody, type of thing. And it wasn't in the way, and it was just tucked right in there, and I knew nobody was going to be able to get to it.
Good.
Another thing that most people do not think about was travel insurance. And I know that sounds so
Oh,
silly, and
okay.
everyone's like, oh, I don't need it, especially if you're going on a domestic trip within the States. Do it, because I was scheduled to go back again when the pandemic first hit. And you know what I didn't get? Travel insurance. So I didn't, thankfully, we were able to arrange some things with the pandemic, but still, we had no idea that was going to come, and you never know what could happen. And definitely would recommend that, even if you think nothing's going to happen.
Get that
Definitely do.
travel insurance. So when you talk about travel insurance, what does that entail, and how is that different from the regular your regular insurance? Because people don't understand when they have their regular insurance, the healthcare coverage, it doesn't cover traveling outside the states or outside of whatever country you're from. So talk to us a little bit about the travel insurance.
Yeah, so I can briefly touch on this one. For us, it was more of if the flight gets canceled, or like with the pandemic, the whole trip got canceled overall, we would have that reassurance that we would get the flight money back or a reimbursement in some form. But I do know ours was a big, just total trip reimbursement for that. And that was something my church had provided. Like, this is the one we would recommend, or other people in our group, we had a Facebook group, would say, here's mine that I'm doing. So there's lots of different plans out there for you to get, depending on your need, of course.
Gotcha. Okay, so the travel insurance was basically for to ensure the trip itself. And that's not the same as the health insurance. So I want to kind of back up a little bit. And I know I mentioned earlier about the health insurance. Some people, and I would encourage people to check their health insurance policy before they go on missions trip or travel outside the United States to make sure their health insurance also covers any issues or medical issues that they may have in another country. So that is different from the travel insurance. But again, some travel insurance may include some of that. We're not totally sure. So we're not experts on that. So I encourage everybody to really research that. We're just kind of throwing out a few things for you guys to, a few nuggets and some things for you guys to think about and kind of chew on, you know, after we finish this show today. So you'll have an understanding of what you need to research in regards to doing missionary work, especially if you're going to travel outside your country. Again, check health insurance policy to see what covers you in another country. Or even another state. So make sure you check on that. Okay, so this is really good. Thank you so much for mentioning those items that you would have brought on your mission trip had you thought about those things. So I want to thank you for sharing those pieces there. And I love the idea of having a separate camera too, outside from your cell phone. That's a good idea. And then also making sure that you don't look touristy. You don't look like a tourist coming in, because I'm old school, Brittany. I'm really old school. I have a purse. I have purses for everything, every pair of shoes, and mama gonna bring a purse, okay? So I thank you for sharing that piece about maybe the lanyard of not having purse, but having something else that really you can have under your shirt that it won't stand out to say, hey, I got my money right here. People really got to help me when I get ready to go travel, when I go overseas, not to take that purse. So thank you for sharing those little tidbits with us. Okay. So what is one thing you wish you would have known before going? You talked about, you know, the things that you would have brought, but what is that one thing that you would have loved to know, loved to have really thought about in depth before you actually went on your mission trip?
Definitely the adjustment coming back was a big one. That wasn't one that I expected. And then another one was just, you will fall in love with it. I absolutely fell in love with it. And I'm like, so eager and want to get back and want to go again. And definitely something I hope to do again, but with the pandemic has been hard to do, but I'm just so eager and I've loved it. And I'm like, let me go back. Please let me go back.
Yes. So you probably are thinking about planning your next mission trip. So this is really good. Some information that people really want to kind of think about even before they start planning their missions trip. But just checking into how do we transition back from that trip and getting reacclimated back to your particular country, your particular region that you're from. That's a big thing. I know when I worked with Red Cross, that was a big part of our training too, when we had to go in and work with the disaster team and we would go into different places, just trying to adjust coming back to our particular counties and countries. That's a big piece of the training that people are some things that they really need to think about. Just that adjustment period and understanding that it can be hard for people. Seeing different things in other countries that you don't see in your own country or you don't see in your own backyard. So you really have to, I call it debriefing sessions. People need to really have those. I know we did those things at Red Cross, even with with what we do at Safe Harbor, when we have to go into particular homes and go into particular neighborhoods and we see things that we necessarily wouldn't see, we have to debrief. So I think that would be really good. Maybe have a Facebook group where you guys can come back and kind of debrief and kind of just talk about what you saw and how you guys are adjusting to life back home. So I think this is a really good thing to really think about. And thank you for sharing that one too, Brittany. All right, so we're going to move into a segment of our show here today where we talk about some common concerns that parents may have. Now, Brittany, our intern, she's been sharing with us some, giving us some wonderful information about missions trip, what missionary work is, and taking out some of the myths and concerns that people may have. But she's going to go deeper and talk about some concerns that parents may have now about sending their children to places for missions work. So what could you tell parents now in regards to everything that's happening now with travel right now, when we're still coming out of a pandemic? There's still some health concerns. There's still some other concerns that are out there. You know, we're talking about the vaccines also. We're not going to go into detail talking about all of that, but we want to deal with some concerns. Let's just be real. You know, there are concerns out there with everything that's going on with traveling, with the pandemic. What would you still tell, what will you tell parents who are wanting to consider sending their kids on a missions trip with everything that's happening right now? What, you know, what it looks like, what should they expect in regards to traveling? Talk to us, Brittany, about this.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, my mom was one of those parents. I don't get it again, because I don't have children, but my mom was one who had these concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that was pre-pandemic, but looking at it now, just in that perspective, I know my church is not scheduling any overseas missions or looking to schedule any overseas missions until 2022.
Gotcha. So okay.
Not only them, a couple of the other organizations that I mentioned, like SEND, is not sending until 2022 as well. Mm-hmm. So this would be a great time to talk to those people within your church or those organizations that your child is looking at and get the facts, get the information. Start praying, start planning. I mean, some financials you can be doing now in terms of saving or having those conversations with your kids about why do you want to go. There's a lot of prep that goes into it that I think is really behind the scenes, and especially in terms of the pandemic, what country are they going to? Do they need that COVID vaccine? Do they need these other vaccinations? I know if you're traveling to certain parts of Africa, just for your own safety, you do have to have certain shots, recommended certain shots for your safety, just because the environment's different.
Yes.
And you're introduced to new things. But I would definitely start with your research and maybe even start small with the pandemic. If this is something your child wants to do, think about a local mission. Think about going with them, just sitting down, talking to those people and getting those facts, because that's the best thing we can do right now if nobody's sending out until 2022 is,
yeah,
gather those facts.
And I think this is so important that you mentioned start now. So this podcast, I want to say this is right on time to really start getting parents looking at and preparing for their child to do missions or the group of people that they're with to do some missions. And how much time would you say there needs to be put into the prep work, the pre-planning work? And I don't want to put you on the spot with that, but let's just kind of throw out something so people can kind of wrap their heads around, okay, how much time do we really have to plan? If nobody is going until 2022, and here it is, it's 2021, how much time?
Yeah, about a year. I believe this was a few years ago. So I think it was about a year they put out just a simple call out meeting. Mm-hmm. It would give you some of the more broad facts, the here's where we're going, this is how long, this is what you need to know. So that's about a year in advance. And then I want to say a little over 6 months, they did ask final, this is who's going, this is your deposit, this is more the realistic, here's your flight times, like here's the total cost, can you commit to this time? So a little over 6 months, probably, especially if you're going somewhere that requires the vaccinations, because they are going to come in doses. My stepdad was looking at going with our church to Africa, and I know that was a process we heavily looked into before the pandemic hit, of course, and some of those shots were a couple double doses that needed to be taken, so probably about 6 months for sure.
That's some really good sound advice. A year out, and then like she said, 6 months out to really solidify a lot of pieces. I know, Min, you talked a little bit earlier about this whole show today, but I'm just curious about cost-wise. And I've heard of people signing up for missions, and then they also were looking for sponsors, and they really started fundraising to send certain individuals to missions. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? I don't, you know, we don't have to throw out any, you know, heavy prices, but just kind of, you know, help the listeners understand that there's cost involved in this. And if there are some costs involved, you know, this is why you need a year out to plan for this missions trip. Maybe two. It depends on where you're going and how much it is literally is going to cost. So talk to us, Brittany, about that.
Without going exact total numbers, I will say plan at least about 1,000, I think, if you're going out of country. I would say that's probably a solid baseline and about where ours was. And don't be afraid to find out what that number includes when you're talking to these people. Does that include your food? Does that include your flight? Does that include transportation to the airline? Does that include excursions that you may go on? Like, we got one fun day where we got to like go to the Ooh. Beach and just kind of take a break from yeah. the work we were doing. Find out what cost goes into that, because if you're, like you said, specifically staying in state or even within the states as a whole, it's going to be way less. If you're thinking about going longer and farther to like Africa, I know that when we were talking about that, that was a bit more, probably aim for that middle, like 1,000-ish to similar experience.
And basically, I think you're talking about with a group, because if you're thinking about by yourself joining another group or something, the cost could be a little bit different. But when you're talking about maybe a church group, they were probably able to get specific package deals with this particular trip. So do your homework. And again, we're just telling our listeners this, you know, to do missions, you really need to do some homework. You really need to do some pre-planning, some prep work. And you're looking at a year out. You're looking at maybe 6 months out to really firmly solidify everything. So thank you for answering that question. Now, for the ones, again, that are still the parents that are still nervous, how can parents be less worried, if I can ask that question, overall with sending their child on a missions trip? And again, we know that pandemic things are still kind of fresh and people are still recovering from 2020. But again, just to start planning and thinking about these things, how can you help parents be a little less worried overall?
Pandemic definitely plays a big factor into that. And like I said earlier, start small. Just let your child discover a more local mission. Let them volunteer somewhere. See how they really like that. Let them get their feet wet with this more localized spot before maybe you take that big step and they want to go overseas. But I think if your child is communicating with you that they have this desire to go on missions, then trust that that is what God wants them to do, and just find comfort in that. My child probably does not have this desire out of nowhere. Like, God is probably calling them and yes. planting this desire in their hearts, and know that your child can have an impact on somebody or multiple lives, and just have a comfort in this is probably where this is coming from, and help them explore that, help them get their feet wet, help them just see the ins and outs of what this really could be. Because for, I think, a young child, simply volunteering somewhere can be enough for them to either be like, yes, I love it, or that wasn't so much for me. And then you can kind of gauge your child too out from that.
And this is good to help parents overall get prepared. And again, I think a big piece of it is start praying too. Now, if your child is coming to you and they're saying, I want to do this, I really, really want to do this, and this may be something that God has placed within that particular child, start praying. Start praying over that child. Start praying over that particular trip and where. Pray over the location. So this is really good information for our parents that are listening to this. Okay, so I know we talked about money a little bit earlier, but I want to kind of jump back into this question a little bit, and we can add a little bit more detailed information to the money concerns if parents are really considering sending their children on a missions trip. There, we know that it is going to cost, but if there's still some money concerns with the parents, what could you tell them that they can do now?
Ask your church or whatever organization you're going with for a payment plan option, especially if you're going with a group, just to help kind of hit that initial cost so it doesn't have to be taken in all at once. And then ask if they're doing any give back nights. I know for when we went, we had a give back with Dairy Queen, and a portion of the proceeds made that day were distributed out to the team equally. And not even when I did mission work, I've done tons of fundraisers growing up, and you can do them through Krispy Kreme, you can do Pizza Hut give backs, Culver's, so many different options out there that these businesses will let your group come in and give you a portion of that, and you can distribute it out to your team. And then I know lots of people in your church or your teachers or family friends or anybody who you have this relationship with most likely will be so excited for your child or for you who is going. And if you ask them for that donation, just sit down and have that conversation with them. They might be able to give. And if not, you have another person who is on your prayer team for this trip, and prayer is so powerful that that in itself can be a gift and a contribution to your trip.
Yes, prayer is powerful. And thanks for sharing that information about the cost. Parents are not trying to incur the cost up front and try to swallow all of that in within one lump sum, but there are options out there. There could be payment plans. I love the whole give back night with restaurants and other companies. So that is really, really good information to have. And here's another question too that parents may have. Should I send extra cash with my child? I know for my nieces and maybe nephews or whatever, they love money. And they love spending money. So what would you tell parents about sending extra cash?
Yes, definitely do, because you never know what could happen. You never know. Definitely send them that extra cash. And depending on where they go, they could accept U.S. currency too. And that's something to consider when sending that cash is, are they going to accept U.S. currency? If not, what's the translation? Does my U.S. dollar mean $5 over here? So then that's another input to the cost center. Also, if you're sending your child with someone, make that person responsible for the cash that your child is taking.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
So that way your child is not just at dispense of all their money that they have, and
right,
they can really help them manage that.
Good. What about some parents that say, you know, should I go with my child? You know, is that an option? Talk to us about that, Brittany.
Definitely your personal preference. But if you feel comfortable going and that would help you put some of these at ease and you can get the financials, definitely do it. This was an experience my stepdad and I got to do together. And it was one of my favorite memories I have with him. Honestly, we got to go and serve the Lord together and really grew our relationship. And that's just a really sweet time that I know I value with him now, especially being in college and not being able to go home and see them as much. So it's definitely a sweet time, and I would do it if you could, but I know it's not for everyone. So my mom was one of those. Definitely your personal preference, but I think I was in college when my stepdad went with me. So no matter the age of your kid, it could be something you guys really enjoy together.
Wow. But your mom was like, no.
Nope.
You Gotcha. So you say that this could be a missions trip, could be a family affair. I think about my family, and I know we travel a lot with, and we really have a lot of fun together, but I really never thought about doing a missions trip with my family. So what would you say to that?
Oh, absolutely. I know we've went on family vacations, and my mom and my stepdad have been there, and me, and I've loved those trips, but there was just something about doing missions with my stepdad that was so sweet and so special that I will definitely hold. Like, of course I have my favorite family vacations, but that was just such a sweeter time with him, and it's teaching your children too how to serve the Lord.
I love that. Family missions trip. There you go. A family missions trip. Love it. Okay. So I have a few more questions for you, and then we're going to wrap up. Our time is dwindling down here. All right. So how do you communicate with your child? Again, this is for the parents that are thinking about sending their child on a missions trip. How would you encourage families to communicate with their child if they're on a trip outside of the country that they live in? They're going to another whole country. How would you encourage the family or the parents to communicate with their child?
Thankfully, we have so much technology today.
Yes.
That it has made it a world easier. So I know we used Facebook Messenger to communicate with my mom back at home.
Okay.
So all I had to do was I had to be on Wi-Fi, and I could call her. I could text her on there. And we even had an itinerary, more so of what we were doing each day. And so she knew prior to us going, okay, they will be busy at this time, probably won't hear from them. But we tried to set times where, hey, we're back for the night, and just let her know updates during the day like that and schedule those times. But Facebook Messenger is a really good one if your child has Wi-Fi, and just set those times so that way your child can still be present while they're there, but also you have this time slot where you know, okay, I'll hear from them. If not, I can get in touch with the guardian, or just give you that reassurance as well of, okay, they're busy, but here's when I can reach them. Here's the itinerary. Here's what they're doing. Facebook Messenger for sure.
That is so good. And then also we know that restaurants have Wi-Fi and some of these countries that they're going into. So they'll be able to contact them during, you know, dinner time or lunchtime or something. So this is good, having that schedule laid out. And this will help ease the parents' minds when they know that they can communicate with their child. So this is really, really good. What would you do in an instance? And again, we're helping parents understand some of these issues that may come up when their child is on a missions trip. So what would you do in case of a medical emergency happens with their child on a trip? What would you tell parents?
Yes. So you will want, if your child is under 18, to obtain a notarized minor travel consent form.
Say that again.
Notarized minor travel consent form.
Okay.
That will allow the guardian that you choose that's going on this trip to basically step in as temporary guardian for your child, handle their money, handle their medical, if needed, medical decisions, and also talk to that adult before you go. How will you reach me if something happens?
Yes.
What do we want to do? And I know we don't want to think about it, but a shot in the dark if that happens, but just be prepared for that. But that consent form is going to be your biggest thing to have in case of that.
This is good information to know, of having that form where there's a stand-in guardian to be able to make some decisions and really help when that child is there in another country. So this is really, really good. I didn't even know about that form. So this is good. Good information. All right. So we are coming to the end of our show. And this is what I would love for you to do, Brittany, for us. I want you to give us some takeaways today. We've talked about a lot of different things in regards to missions work. What is it? What's a missionary? What type of work and activities people can get involved in? So I would love to see you talk about a few takeaways for our listeners so they can really just understand all of what we've kind of talked about in our show today.
Yes. So the biggest takeaway I want you guys to have is missions do not have to be overseas. And I know we talked a lot about that today, just mainly talking in my own personal experience. But again, you are a part of God's community, His kingdom. You are a missionary where you are in your daily life, in your work. right here where you are, no matter how that's overseas or not. You're a missionary for God in His kingdom right where you are. And then I highly recommend going if you are thinking about it. I did not have a single regret from going. If anything, I'm itching to go again, like I said. So
yes.
If it's something you're thinking about, definitely get in contact with us, get in contact with whoever your local church community is that you would want to go, and definitely go. I can really say it was such a good time, so changing. And then I know we covered a lot of resources about money and everything, but for the parents, have that conversation with the team lead on the mission, have the conversation with the pastor, have the conversation with whoever is going to be in charge of your child when they go, and ask questions. There are no silly questions. Other parents are probably having these same concerns that you're having. It's normal to have. You are not being a helicopter, overprotective mama bear for doing that. Like, you want to know what your child will be doing, and are of course concerned for their safety. So just, I encourage you to not be afraid, ask those questions, and really get the specifics of what will be going on while your child is away.
These were some really good takeaways, Brittany. So thank you so much. And I believe you have really inspired some people to want to research this now and start thinking about doing some missions work for 2022. Because again, it's not too early to start planning. And I would tell people now, just listening to you, Brittany, I would tell people now to start planning if they're thinking about doing any type of missions work or allowing their children to do any type of missions work. And again, my little takeaway from this would be, do a family missions trip, because as you guys already know, Safe Harbor, we are family oriented nonprofit. We love family. We do family restoration here. And this will be a wonderful, awesome way to get to know other places, get to know what the other needs that are out there in other places. And again, if you want to do in other countries, there are needs there. There are needs here in the United States. So get your feet wet and really find out what is going on in these other communities and the needs that are there in those communities. And you can do this as a family. And I guarantee you, it is so rewarding just to do work with your family. I want to say this one more thing. I remember when I went with my family, it wasn't overseas, but we actually did missions work. We actually went and packed lunches for a community that was in need. And I remember us in this assembly line in this warehouse, and I was surrounded by my family, and it was so rewarding. We laughed, we had fun, we got to know each other. It was just a wonderful time of giving back. And it was all in the name of just giving back to a community that was in need of packing boxes to help communities that were having issues with food insecurity. We noticed in one of the communities. So I really love that. That's one of my fondest memories with my family. So again, I encourage families to do this if they're thinking about it. So we have came to at the end of our show. Our time is up. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to listen to our show, Harboring Positivity. And I want to thank Brittany for coming on, sharing her wisdom and her knowledge and just her passion for what she did in regards to missions and how she grew closer to God and closer even to with her stepfather when she did this. And I want to leave you guys a little nugget, and we always do this at the end of our show, but know that you guys are loved, you're cherished, and God truly has a plan for your life. And make sure you follow us at Safe Harbor IM on any of our social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. We love you. We thank you again for tuning in. See you next time. And again, remember, if no one has told you today, that you are loved.